can be seated. We were joking about this. Amen. You could clear out. Hallelujah. She said, you ever get that face sometimes where you look, it's like, why are we doing this? Come on. Talk to me this morning. I'm just going to sit here all day. Amen. Let me say it again. You ever looked at somebody and they just looked at you with a face and they just look at you like, why are we doing this? Come on. Am I the only one? Married people in the house. You ever just look at your spouse? Come on. Are you dated or you've been in a dating relationship or you got friends? Say friends. Come on. All of us got friends. You'd be like, I'm not A or B, but I am C. I got a friend. Amen. And you ever just say something or give a command or a direction and or you're just an exhortation or something, and they just looked at you like, did you really just say that? And why are we doing that? How many of you know God always has, come on, purpose in what he does? Amen. And so what happens a lot of times, we're like, we can get into life going, why? And you just say why. Everybody say why. Say it again. Say why? Say it again. Say why. You ever just wonder why? Come on. But God has purpose. We read all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, even in the maps. How many of you know got maps in the back of your Bible? And as a kid, I used to sit in church, and I used to go all the way, flip through the maps. Anybody ever do that? You sit, I've been in church my whole life. Come on, somebody. And then I'm reading everybody's notes and everything that's on, that's written in the Bible over the years that they've written in, you know? And so you've exhausted maps, you've exhausted all the notes, and then as a kid, I sit there and I'm just like, I know there's purpose being taught here. I might need to just grab a hold of some of that this morning. Amen. And so this morning, we're just endeavoring on this issue of identification. We're going to speak along these lines this morning. But how many know, say this with me, say purpose. How many know there's a purpose to the plan of God for your life? Come on. It's not just to obtain information. Amen. But it is revelation. God wants you to know some things, and he wants you to not only know them, but James, in the book of James, it talks about being, James says to the church, he talks about being a doer of the word. Amen. Say doer. So it's not just hearing something. It's hearing and then what? Doing what God tells you to do. What is one of the very simplistic principles that Mary, come on, the first miracle that Jesus ever performed, Mary was sitting, the disciples were there at this wedding. Jesus had an invitation, and Jesus turns water into wine. And it's so profound that he does that. But what is one thing that Mary says in context? She says this statement. She says, guys, I know we've run out. She looks at Jesus and he says, listen, the time is not yet. But what happened? Something profound is said. Mary said this, said, guys, whatever he tells you to do, come on, talk to me this morning. Come on, let's say it again. Whatever he tells you to do, whatever God, whatever the word of God, whatever the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you, the believer, whatever he tells us to do, what do we do? Come on, somebody. So in the doing, God is saying, I'm trying to attach you by being a doer of the word to your purpose, to your calling. How many of you know there's people that are supposed to be touched through you? Say that with me. Say through me. So this gospel of the kingdom, come on, is not just for you. It is for other people. Come on, say generations. This morning, we're honoring generations. There are many men and women, come on, that have found out their purpose. They said, you know, my purpose is to go serve this country. My purpose is that I'm going to go and take up arms, and I'm going, come on, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, come on, World War I, World War II. There's so many that I haven't mentioned, but there's so many wars. How many know freedom doesn't come cheap? It comes with a cost. We're going to look at that this morning. And so there are those that said, my purpose, I feel my purpose is to go serve my nation. Come on, join the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, the National Guard, maybe the Reserve. He said, I'm going to get involved. And there's many, come on, that we're going to recognize even today and on Monday that laid down their life for you and me in America. Say that. Say America. Come on, be proud when you say that as a United States citizen. Amen. Come on, let's say it. Let's shout it. Say America. Come on, this is where we live, the land of the free and the home of the Brave. Come on, somebody. So there are those who attach themselves to purpose that said, my purpose is to set freedom for those that are coming down the road. Come on, for generations and generations to come. There are those who have laid it down, who have shed blood, who have lost their lives. Come on. I've talked to many friends of mine that are veterans right now who have lost comrades. Come on. They've lost fellow soldiers, fellow friends in battle. Amen. And so I just encourage the church and those that are online, thank you for watching this morning, but even in this house, I encourage you, when you see a veteran, when you see those, I know this is for those who have died, but I'm just telling you, when you see someone that has served, even in this room or out of this place, I know Memorial Day and Veterans Day are two different distinctive holidays, but I want to say that these are men and women who are sacrificing, who have made the decision to attach their purpose to our freedom. Amen. And so we're going to look at that this morning, the same way that those that grabbed a hold of purpose and said, I'm going to take up arms to provide freedom for the covering of America for generations to come. We're going to look at a reminder this morning, and that's what this is going to be this morning. It's going to be a reminder that the same way in the natural, those took up arms, God the Father, come on, he took his very best in Jesus Christ, and he laid his life down, amen. And how many of you know there's spiritual freedoms? There's freedoms that we as believers get to walk in every day. How many of you know peace came at a cost? Come on, talk to me this morning. The peace of God, Ephesians 6, that surpasses all understanding, came at a cost. Come on, so when you wake up and turmoil is going all around, that you raise up in your authority because you're a son and daughter of God, and God says, remember, come on, the Holy Spirit who's been poured out says, listen, Jesus laid down his life so you can walk in complete freedom. Amen. So when you have turmoil, when you have calamity, when you have thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, come on, that come to your head, and they say, you're never going to make it. You can't do it. You can't move. You don't have the strength. Come on. You rise up in the authority, come on, that you have in the name of Jesus. Come on. Through the word, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Come on. We can say, I have peace. You rise up and say, I have peace. Come on. Today. Not today, devil. Come on. You say, not today, devil. Anybody ever have thoughts that hit you early in the morning when you get out of bed? Come on. Am I the only one? I get up in the morning, and I know when my feet hit the floor, things are happening and thoughts are coming. Come on, 24/7. And I realized, I was thinking last night as I prepared this message, I'm thinking, Lord, there's so much history. There's so much heritage. There's so many quotes by Theodore Roosevelt. Come on, there's so many quotes by great men, great presidents. And I was looking for quotes, and I said, no, I don't want to tell quotes. I'm just going to tell a story and parallel the opening from, come on, the freedoms that we have today to the freedoms that we have now because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Does anybody remember, amen, does anybody remember this? Does anybody remember Albert Einstein? You say, how does this tie in? How many of you know that there was a time when I was in school and I remember sitting in the classroom, come on, learning about those, come on, who went before us, learning about history, learning about our nation, learning about wars. And I'm always captivated by that because I want to know history. I love history. And so in digging, I started reading for this message about Albert Einstein. And I was just remembering back in school how I used to sit in class, and I'm like, I love to learn about history. I love to learn about language and different things, but I hated math. Come on. There's certain parts of teaching in school where I would just tap out. Anybody know what you mean by tap out? Like, my brain is just done. And so we start talking about these men like Albert Einstein. We start talking about war and different types of war. And so we're learning all across the board. But last night I was thinking about this. I was sitting in school one day, and we're learning about Albert Einstein, right? And how his breakthrough discoveries changed everything for physics. How many of you know the atomic bomb, a lot of the explosives, a lot of the military warfare we have today, we can attribute to those folks. Amen. So the material, you know, was so advanced to me. You ever feel that way? Like, and I'm sitting there thinking, as a in the classroom, I just zoned out, and I was just sitting there thinking why the teacher's teaching, and there's purpose going on, and there's a part of history that I need to know, and I'm sitting there going, how can I get this number two pencil in the ceiling? I'm like, I'm looking up, and I'm seeing the ceiling tile in my classroom, and I'm not interested about history. I'm not interested in learning about, I'm just tapped out as a kid, and I'm just sitting there going, how can I get the sharpened number two pencil? I already see some holes. When the teacher doesn't look, how can I just sling this pencil up in the ceiling and see if it sticks? Come on. Amen. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, why the teacher's teaching on iron? But even though I wasn't paying attention in class, I was more like daydreaming. At the same time, there was something revolutionary that was being taught that has since changed the course of generations. Let me say it again. And so Einstein's famous theory, does anybody remember E equals MC squared? You remember learning about this theory in school? Yo, E equals MC squared was a revolutionary revelation, say that five times, that changed the way scientists thought about how space and time relate to matter and energy. So this is going on in the classroom. And how many of you know this theory is a breakthrough that changed the way we view the world by opening up quantum physics and unlocking what? Anybody remember the atom? And anybody remember learning about atoms, protons, electrons, neutrons? Come on, fusion. And so Albert Einstein was a huge part to play. So wouldn't you say that what Albert Einstein did changed the way some things operate in our generation? I mean, though, there's some wars through the mathematics and the genius of those scientists and those like Albert Einstein that changed the way that war looks. Come on, not everybody likes war. But how many of you know if my gun is bigger than your gun, most likely I'm going to win. Come on. And so it changed everything. This revelation changed everything. And so this morning, you know, God in his great blessings and his great plan of redemption has done something much greater than Albert Einstein. How many of you know what Einstein did was pretty important? Come on. And so this changes everything. So if you're taking note, the title of my message is simply this. This changes everything. What are you talking about? The blood of Jesus has forever changed heaven. If you get your Bibles today, we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a familiar passage of scripture for many of us. If it is not familiar to you, we should have that up on the screen, and we're going to read that this morning. But even if it's your first time, if you've heard this many times, let this sink in. Amen. This changes everything. Come on. Einstein's theory. Men attached to purpose, going to war. Come on. Change the course of our nation, of our culture. I mean, you know, let me say it again. The blood of Jesus changes everything for the believer. Come on. There are things that you may have been born with in your DNA, in your natural self, because you became a child of God and you said, Lord, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you have been raised from the dead. How many of you know at that moment you became a brand new creation and you have a brand new DNA? I'm going to say it again. You have a brand new DNA. Come on, you got new genes. You're not a recreated. You're a brand new person. Amen. So that now I can look through my lineage and say that was in my family. But come on, because of what the precious blood of Jesus, come on, he did, that changes everything. And God, come on, had an equation. He said, I'm going to send my son. He is my very best. And he's going to change everything. Amen. Come on. He could change things that are hereditary in your family. And you come on into Christ, there's just some things in your body you just don't have to take anymore. Come on. Amen. This is what Jesus Christ died for. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? Come on, talk to me. Say it again.
So when Jesus died on the cross, he became sin for us, and his death was the death of the old sinful creation. How many of you know because of Adam, Adam didn't get the job done? Come on, he listened to Eve. Eve was deceived. God, come on, they disobeyed the Lord. And so in sin entered in through disobedience, sickness, disease. Come on, God put them out of the garden. That you're going to sweat. Come on, in context to Genesis, you're going to sweat with your brow. But how many of you know the second Adam? Come on, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, got the job done. Come on, amen. And so Jesus' blood was the redeeming price paid to buy back humanity from the power of Satan. Wait a minute, I was under control of Satan? Come on. See, this is where we need to grab a hold of this message. Because a lot of us in our lives don't realize, we do, but there are many in our generation. Come on, this changes everything. When you go into Walmart, this revelation, this revolutionary revelation of the blood of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection on this Memorial Day, come on, changes everything. When you go into the ice cream aisle, this changes everything. When you go into McDonald's, I mean, when you're in the drive-thru, you can speak one word of encouragement. How many of you know that will change the course of somebody's day? Come on, there are people in this room, your teachers, you're in classrooms with students all day long and you're learning. How many of you know the anointing and the glory of the Lord that is in your life comes into contact with the world? How many of you know that changes everything? Amen. So the blood of Jesus broke the curse of sin and its effects. And Jesus' blood defeated sin. Say defeated. It defeated sin, was justified in the Spirit, and then raised from the dead. Jesus Christ ascended, and he took his blood into heaven itself and placed it there into the holies of holies. Amen. So we're going to look at a couple scriptures this morning, and we're going to continue on in this vein. A few more scriptures. Hebrews 9:12 says this. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, come on, Jesus Christ, but by his own blood, he entered once. Say once. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Listen, under the old covenant, if you're students of the Bible or not, this is something we need to be reminded of. Come on, Jesus Christ did it once. Say once. Come on, we don't have to keep offering a sacrifice like under the old covenant and under that old operation. We are brand new creation. This is the new system. Amen. Amen. And so Hebrews 10:19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Say boldness. Come on, I've been timid in my life. There's places where I'm like in fear, timid. I had no boldness. But when I got a hold of this revelation, I mean, you know, when Einstein was researching out and he finally figured out the equation that changed the whole course of history. I mean, you know, there's other equations. If you'll study the life and the biography of Albert Einstein, there are things that he has studied out that I believe our divine God gave him to change and alter the course of history in our generation. The same way that that wisdom altered, the same way that that revelation altered, the same way this revelation can alter the life of any believer and any person who doesn't know him. Amen. Listen, these aren't just religious teachings. This isn't just a word of exhortation. This is an infallible, perfect, without error, God-breathed, prophesied word from heaven to us. Amen. And so we have boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have access because of the blood to walk anytime into the presence of the Father, anywhere at any time to enter in and say, Father, can we talk? Come on. So Jesus' blood opened up heaven for us now. And the blood of Jesus is on the altar before the Father forever, forever. Say that word with me. Say forever. Does anybody remember the movie Sandlot? You ever seen the movie Sandlot? It's about baseball. Come on, and you had, is it Squint? Come on, it's one of the characters in the movie, and they got everybody in the tree fort, and they're in the tree fort playing baseball, and they're all, it's summertime, not in school, so baseball during the day, sitting up in the tree fort at night, telling story. And in the context of this movie and the story, Squints ends the story about this dong, and he says this word forever like this: forever. Forever. Come on. Forever. And it was the horror story to everybody, and everybody was under their blankets and pillows. Come on. Forever. Let me say it again. Forever. Forever. Jesus' blood, come on, is speaking of mercy. Say mercy and grace. Say it again. Say mercy and grace. Man, we need to get that into us. Mercy and grace. Well, yes, he is a God of justice, but he is also a God of mercy and grace. So that when we're coming into contact, what is the relevance of this? The blood of Jesus. Come on. Our identification with Christ and who we are in him changes everything. We need to change how we see ourselves. Because mercy and grace, his blood changed everything in heaven. So that when God sees you, he sees you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, he's not finding you, picking you apart, beating you down. Come on. Hallelujah. I get excited because this is a memorial weekend. And I'm like, we need to have this memorial of what the blood of Jesus has done for us every single day. Every day. The blood of Jesus triumphs over hell. So I say to you, what hell is staring you in the face today? What's going on in your life? Come on, what hell, what thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, what calamities, what circumstances, what trials, come on, are staring you in the face and saying, you can't do it, Rachel. You're never going to get it done, Joe. Come on, you'll never grow. You're going to stay at this place. Come on, you're just old. Come on, you're irrelevant. There's nobody will listen to you. What do these all sound like? What do they sound like? They're lies. They're deception. Jesus calls Satan what? Multiple names. Liar. Deceiver. A ravenous wolf in sheep's clothing. What is the relevancy of the blood? Because this changes everything. When people in the world have an authentic encounter, come on, our generation authentically experienced demonstration. Not how much we know of the Bible, but how much we take of the Bible. Take the blood of Jesus. Come on, the power and the authority we have through our identification with Christ. And we walk out of here, this changes everything. Because if Albert Einstein, God can give wisdom to him, and he can create equations that changes the course of wars, come on, changes the course of science, our Father has infinite wisdom. And if we'll listen to him, his wisdom will touch our lives, and we'll realize, come on, when the devil's lies and hell is staring you in the face, speaking to you when nobody's around or when a lot of people are around. Come on. I've been in groups of people as a young person in Florida. I went to a very big church in Florida at the time. It started with about 40 or 50 people. But after 20, 30 years, they've grown. I used to sit in Ocala, Florida with people from this church who would sit down and we would say, let's go eat. Come on. Like all the single people, all the married, whoever wanted to go. We're like, we just get crowds of people after church and in between services and youth service. I'm like, let's go down the road. How many of you know 200 in Ocala, Florida has many restaurants? If you don't know that, you just learned that. Come on. It's not like Silva where we're just like, where are we going to eat? Come on. You know what I mean? But we're growing. Come on. Our economy's growing. We're growing in Silva. And we're getting more restaurants. Come on, more businesses. Why? Because this changes everything. It changes how you pray. It changes how you speak over your city. So I'm sitting there in 200 with a group of people, got money in my pocket, I'm working a job, and I notice one person, say one person. See, you may not be called to 100 people in the day, but there will be that one person that needs to hear. And you are the mouthpiece, the voice for our generation. Amen. And so I'm sitting at 200 at a Mexican restaurant at this table, and I notice one person not eating. Everybody just vegging. Come on, just carnage. Rah, rah, rah. And I'm just like, we're having a good time. And I'm sitting there and I said, one person. So I quietly walked, pushed my chair back, walked around and said, listen. He said, I want you to eat. Are you good? He said, I don't have any money. I said, bro, this, come on, I didn't say it, but this changes everything. So I took, come on, what? I know because of the blood, because of what the provisions of the Bible says that I walk in and I can have, I'm not thinking lack. If I buy this guy's meal, most people are thinking lack. I think because of what the blood has done, come on, God did so much for me that even a meal is going to touch this guy. So you know what? This changes everything. So I grabbed a hold of my wallet and I showed him my bank card and I said, whatever you want to eat, order. And he put a smile on his face because it wasn't that he didn't have money. He was a teenager who lived at home with his mom and his mom had already gone home and he had a ride promise and he forgot to get money. But how many of you know not everybody's in a dire strait? How many of you know you can be generous with people who even have money? Come on, somebody. We're always thinking about broke. I'm not thinking about broke. I'm thinking about it doesn't matter whether it's a person of great wealth or limited means. Come on. This changes everything. Amen. We think of the church sometimes, and we think about the blood, and we think about the lowest of low. No, how about the highest of highs? How about when a business is booming? Come on. The same way I bought a meal, how about you take yourself to a Christian business, and you say, man, I see what you do, and I want to support you. But how about going to a person that is not a Christian and God's leading you to them to transact in business? Why? Because this word, this identification, come on, this teaching, this authority, this is who I am, because it changes everything. So sitting there on 200, I left that night enjoying myself. I even stopped eating. I didn't even finish my meal because it blessed me to see that young man tear up some Mexican food. Come on, somebody. Amen. So what is the relevancy of these messages? Listen, it's not just to acquire more knowledge. It's to take what we're learning. Come on, put it in to being what James says, doers of this word. See, this blood is what changes your heart. See, this blood, we sing the song, the blood reaches into the highest mountains and it flows to the lowest valley. Y'all remember the song? It's the blood that gives me strength for the blood of Jesus. From day to day, and it shall never, what? Lose its power. Revelations 12:11. See, the blood of Jesus triumphs over hell. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him, Satan, and all of his demons by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And grab this statement. We always jumping down at the first part, but grab this last part. And they love not their lives even unto, so it means it's going to cost you something. Come on, if you're going to impact a generation, we can't just talk about it. It is going to cost you something. And you say, how can I give something that costs so much? Because of what Jesus laid down, his blood for you and me, to the Father at the mercy seat, and that blood is speaking right now. Come on, amen. That allows you to get up and operate in the peace of God all day long. So Colossians 2:15 in closing says this. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Colossians 2 said he spoiled. Come on. He broke up. He destroyed all the works of the devil. Come on. He destroyed poverty. He destroyed sickness. Come on. He destroyed spiritual death. Come on, death. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has what? Redeemed us with his blood. Come on, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. So, Jesus Christ took his blood into hell itself and defeated the Lord of death in the confines of human flesh. Grab that statement right there. People are like, well, he was God, but he took upon flesh and became a man like you and like me. Come on. As a God-man, Jesus triumphed over Satan himself with his own blood so that you and I can overcome as new creations. Amen. So Revelation 12:11 says, I'm an overcomer. and an overcomer. Remember what an overcomer we read? It says they have something to say. Come on. You have something to speak. Where you live, you have something to say over your city. Where you, come on, where you walk, where you go to the park, God will speak to you and use you because of the blood, because this changes everything. Come on, the way we pray, the way we view people, the way we see those, come on, in the church. Not just those who don't know him, but how about love, the blood of Jesus? This changes everything. How about the way we see those inside of the household of faith? Amen. And so his blood has triumphed. So what is it that has come so strong against you lately? Come on, what voices are speaking? Come on, who's talking? Who are we listening to? Are we identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and what God says about it? Or do we have more concern about what others and a very small, minute group of people think about you and me? Come on, I got to run with God. I got to listen to what he said. See, the blood changes your heart. Let's read a few more scriptures, and then we're going to pray this thing out of here. Hebrews 10, 21 through 22. Do you have your Bibles? Hebrews 10, 21 through 22. It says this. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we have a high priest. Who's our high priest, church? Come on. Hebrews 10:16 says this. Hebrews 10:16. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Listen, the blood of Jesus changes everything, even your heart. And I want to read this last one here. Colossians 1, 22. If you have your Bible, or it's on the screen here, Colossians 1. It says this, and I love this, because this is like the exclamation point. This is the Living Bible translation. It says, Colossians 1, 22, he has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body. Speaking of Christ. And now as a result, Christ has brought you. Say you. Say me. He has brought you and me into the very presence of God. And you are standing therefore before him with nothing left against you. Nothing left that he could even chide you over. Come on, that's a hand clap shout right there. Let that sink in a minute. Because of what? Come on, the Father is not coming after you. He said, because of what Jesus has done, I'm satisfied. The blood of Jesus, I'm satisfied. Come on. God said, I'm not after you. I'm not coming to be against you. He said, I'm not even chiding you. He said, just receive my son. Come on, just receive the provisions that are provided through that death, that burial, that resurrection. Come on. How many of you know you can live as a Christian your whole life and stop just right at salvation and stay right there? How many of you know there's more to know? Come on, there's a door to walk through. Come on, this Christian walk, it's not just getting to the sweet by and now I'm saved. Come on, it's not just an insurance policy. This thing is a relationship. Come on, this thing is a relationship. God said, I want a relationship with you. I want to dine with you. I want to converse with you. I want to feel your hurts and your pains. I want to know what it is you're going through. I want to touch you and minister to you. I want you to know how much I love you. Come on, your heart is important to him. And so your heart has become the dwelling place for God, the meeting place between a righteous child and a holy father. Come on, I said a righteous child. Not a low down, dirty, no good. Come on, a righteous child and a holy father. Come on, when I was reading this last night and I thought, ooh, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So your heart. This changes everything in your heart. You can come boldly to God and talk to him about anything. Come on. Pains and hurts and struggles. Come on. You need wisdom? Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You need wisdom? Come and get it. Come on, God's saying, come and get it, 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 come and get it. Come on, you ever watch the old cow drives on the cowboy movies with John Wayne? And I used to watch these with my grandfather, which, by the way, on my mother's side, my grandfather, come on, served, I believe, in the Army and the Navy. And so he served, Jack Rotenberry, and I love that man. And here's and I still love him today. And here's what's powerful about this. I used to sit there with my grandfather, who had served, watching John Wayne and watching that dinner bell. They go out there, and the cowboys are doing their thing, and the cook comes outside and grabs their little wand and starts dinging that triangle. Come on, ding, 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 ding. And what happens? Come on, he's saying, come and get it. Come and get it. Come and get it. Come get food. Come get steak. Come on, come get rice and beans. Come on, come get it. And this is what God is saying to us. Believer, come and get it. You need wisdom? Come and get it. You what do you need? Come and get it. You need provision? Come on, you need to know how to grow your business? Come on, are you struggling with depression? Are you anxious all the time? He said, just come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Stop where you are. Start talking to me. Open up your heart. Amen. And so whatever it is you need. So you're wondering why this morning, why I'm wearing these lanyards. Some of you have been staring at me like, why is he wearing? Come on. These are lanyards, that the only lanyards that I could find. They are to the 2019 Supernatural Relationship meeting that Rachel and I go to with our family down in Louisiana with Pastor Mark Hankins and Trina Hankins. And we love CWC. We love the Hankins family. Love all of that family. Come on. We love where God has placed us and called us to sit. But here's one thing. When you go down there, they give you these lanyards. You know, these lanyards, some of you know what I'm talking about because you work in places where these lanyards are actually have keys built into them. And how many of you know, with some of you where you work, it's not just a lanyard for identification, it's a lanyard for access. Say access. How many of you know this lanyard around your neck in certain places that has a key on it? It will get you access in the places that most people can't get into. Amen? And so what are you saying? I've been to many events where I got these lanyards on, but I got limited access. And I'm sitting there going, how do I get unlimited access? How can I get in the back room? How can I get to where I need to be? Come on. I've been in places where I've seen people take this off their neck, slide it. Come on. It's a little key card. And I'm like, I want that access. Has anybody ever felt that way? You're like, I want to go there. Come on. That's where the free drinks are. That's where the goodies are. Come on. That's where people, come on. There's VIP access there. How many of you know when I say VIP? Anybody know what I mean with that VIP? Come on, there's VIP access. And this is the thing about what we're talking about today. There are lanyards that can get you at anywhere in the room. Come on, others can't access. But here's the thing, in Christ, say this with me, say in Christ, say I am a new man in Christ. So in Christ, by faith in his blood, believers, that's you and me, have access. You have VIP access to the most holy place in prayer. Come on, it is not restricted. You have full access. When you're driving down the road in your car, come on, you have full access. When you're going to work, you have full access. Come on, the blood is the lanyard. Come on, you have access because of the shed blood of Jesus. Come on, this key right here is revolutionary revelation that'll change your life if you'll just grab a hold of what I'm saying. And not walk out of here and just be like, that sure was a good master, a message Pastor preaching. But it's a word that you're just like, you know what? I'm taking what Pastor has said, slang and all, and I'm taking it with me this Sunday, and I'm walking out of here, and I'm going to my generation. Come on, I'm going to not just my age group of people, but I'm going to older people, middle-aged people, younger people. I'm going to people that when the Holy Spirit says, listen, you have VIP access because of the blood of Jesus, what do you need? Come on, there's people that need a thank you. Say thank you. People just need a thank you at the door. Come on, during COVID, we had people being rude and upset. Come on, anybody remember the gas shortage crisis we had up here? Come on, there were fist fights going on at the gas pump, people running over other people right here in Canton. Come on, 30 minutes up the road, people fighting.
I'm thinking, that's not the access I want. Come on, talk to me. This is limited access, what we're talking about. I want full access to the realm of God, to the holies of holies. Father, listen, I'm hurting right now. I'm hurting so bad. My wife can't heal me. There ain't enough words of exhortation that can come from any man, woman, or child. Come on. Does anybody know pain? Anybody ever walked through some life where you're like, you didn't need somebody else's word of prophecy? Come on. You didn't need somebody else's preaching and teaching. What you needed was for them to do a 1 Corinthians. Come on. When you weep, I weep. Let me wrap my arms around you. I feel your hurt. Your hurt is my hurt. Come on. When you're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. When God does things for you, I'm jumping up and down with you. Come on. I was excited. I got blessed with a new set of truck tires from a missionary. Come on. Missionaries, we're supposed to support. But see, this fellow I'm talking about has an expectation, and he understands access to the holies of holies, that when the Father says, hey, I want you to do something for me, would you do it? Come on, this thing's going to cost you. Sometimes it's going to cost you your time. Sometimes it's going to cost you some money, some time in prayer. It's going to cost you, come on, when everybody else, you're in a crowd and everybody else is dogging out. The guy who smells on the side of the road, and he doesn't smell so good. But God says, listen, don't talk about him. Doesn't he have a pretty blue set of eyes? I want you to, come on, the Holy Spirit's like, listen, I want you to go talk to that person. And then you leave the crowd and you step out, come on, with full VIP access to God's power, to his glory, and you bring a word that just changes the course and the trajectory of their life forever. Come on, if Albert Einstein can do that, so can you. If Albert Einstein can listen to come on, those around him and from heaven and get E equals MC squared, then you can get a spiritual equation and you can grab a hold of this message. Listen, and lift the burdens off of our generation. Amen. So in Christ, by faith in his blood, you have access to the holies of holies in prayer. One cannot be in God's presence for a moment without being changed. So it's not just you talking. It's not just you exhorting. It's not just you encouraging. What it is God in you, the hope of glory. It's Z-O-A, Z-O-E, the life of God, Zoe, that's in you that needs to be released to our generation. Not just, come on, not just in the four walls of the church, but outside. That when we do anything in this house, come on, we bring people, but it's more important that when we're sitting at Lowe's, and Alex and I, the other day, the man's just working so hard, and we're talking because I used to work at Lowe's, and this is, we're having iron sharpeneth iron moments. Come on, I spoke King James right there. Did you hear that? Sharpeneth. And so we're sitting there in Lowe's, and we're just having a good time, and we're just talking. But you know, I walked away from that conversation encouraged. You know, I walked away from there. You know why? Because I'm always the one engaging, because I'm on fire with what I'm talking about. I love what I do. Come on, we get to do this. We get to live this life. Amen. And we have eternity forever with Jesus. But why not live out loud right now? Amen. Why not live it out loud? Come on. So you pray for somebody that didn't work before. Who cares? So you said the wrong thing and it didn't. You said it wrong. Who cares? Come on. Feed yourself. Train yourself. Grow yourself. Move on. But let's go. Come on. This changes everything. Listen, I want to say this. J. Oswald Sanders said this. He said, Jesus drank a cup of wrath without mercy that we might drink a cup of mercy without wrath. Isn't that good? A cup of mercy. So the Apostle Paul knew, listen, he knew the formality and deadness of religion and the law of Moses, but he wrote about something that happens when a person in Christ accesses the throne. And Rachel, if you'll come on up. I want to read a couple of scriptures again. It says this, Ephesians 3:12. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, in whom we have boldness and access. Say it again. Say boldness and access. You have boldness to enter in. You have access. You have a VIP lanyard that will get you anywhere at any time in the presence, driving down the road, in a restaurant, in the lowest place of your life, Come on, God said, I don't care how low you are. I don't care what's going on in your life. I'm there with you. You still, listen to me. There are times when Christians go through things and you think God is far from you. He is not far from you. He is with you. Come on, because of the blood of Jesus, this changes everything. It changes his approach. We need to change how God sees us so that when we need things from him, we don't have to get into these mechanical confessions. Just through fellowship and relationship, you say, Father. Paul said we have boldness and access. Lord, I'm hurting. Come heal me. Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I need help. Lord, my friend whom I love. Come on. You know, when I was a teenager, I was with a lot of people at a lot of parties and a lot of places I should never have been. But you know what, though? God used me. He used me. He used me in the darkest places. Come on, growing up here in Florida and Appalachia, God used me to speak life in the lowest places. Come on, some of us would be like, I wouldn't be caught dead there. Why not? Now, I know there's places, in according to the Bible, and I'm speaking balance here, but when God the Holy Spirit is speaking you to be in a place, why not just be there? Why not be the answer that somebody needs? Well, they just cuss a lot. Can you just put up with a little bit of cussing to win somebody to Christ and be an example? Well, they do this and they do that. Would you be willing? I mean, this is, after all, the people that God loves. Because what? If you're going to love what he loves, you're going to have to love people. Come on. And I know there's hurts and pains and things that people have done to us, and this is a good time today to let it go. Come on. Because the cold doesn't bother me anyway. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's another movie reference. Let it go. Let it go. Not holding back anymore. Anyway, come on. Some of you are laughing because your grandkids sing this song all day long. And you're like, you got to do that today. It doesn't matter. What are the places he's telling you to go? Because this blood, come on, this identification, this issue, it changes everything. 2 Corinthians 3:18, all of us, say all of us, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful. As what, Pastor? As God enters our lives and we become like him. Let me read another translation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the New Living says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Let me hit you with one more in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, continually, seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. So stand with me. We're going to close this thing out today. Because of the blood of Jesus, any person in Christ has been granted full access to the very presence of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we need to do? Say, take advantage. Shout it. Say, take advantage. Shout it louder. Say, take advantage. Come on, say it again until it just really hits you. What do we need to do? Say it again. Say, take advantage. When we're out in the community, what do we need to do? When we're in Walmart, what do we need to do? Come on, when we're on the job and in our businesses, what do we need to do? When you're lying at home in your bed and thoughts are hitting you like crazy, what do you need to do? You need to take advantage. Come on, you need to take advantage. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, and I just thank you right now in your precious name for everything that you're going to do and continually do in our lives. And Father, I just thank you as we exit this place today. We thank you for those who have fought, preserved the freedom But we also thank you for the blood of Jesus and his shed blood that was laid down so we can have spiritual freedom and we can live the life we were called to live. Come on, live, come on, with him in relationship. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I'm going to go offline. I want to know you, and if you've been watching online and you've enjoyed this, leave a comment in the field. Come on, don't move just yet. We're not done. But I want to say this. Thank you for joining us. We love you. God bless you. We're here every day, every Sunday morning. Tuesdays, we have prayer. Anybody been enjoying prayer on Tuesday nights? Anybody been coming to that? Come on, we've been having some intercessory prayer. But how many know Wednesdays, 7 p.m., we have service right here. And then Sunday at 10. Amen. So God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed online. But here's what I want to do. Let me close this off. Everybody say equipment. Come on, shout that way. Say equipment. We just acquired equipment to take us off this system and completely online. Amen. I'm excited about what God is doing in the local church. David, would you get this out of here? But I'm excited what God is doing in the local church. I'm excited what God is doing in your lives. Listen to me. As we leave this place, share your testimonies. Come on. There's people in this room and people all over your generation. In this city, in your schools, in your colleges, that need to hear your voice and your testimony. Amen? And so, give it to them. Because this message changes everything. Amen? So you are dismissed. We love you. God bless you. I'll be up here. If you need prayer, I'll be up here. But high five somebody. Let them know you were glad to see them today. Amen? God bless you.